It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King alongside me here with a couple of sponsors that make this thing go.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call. Join in. 888-993-7762. 888-993-7762. Of course, you can email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com or utilize Twitter or use the hashtag BTBRadio, and we will answer your questions on the air.
Once again, the Bulldogs lay a whooping. 42-21 over conference foe North Texas, the Mean Green, named after none other than Mean Joe Green. Yes, that is a fact. I can't believe you're naming... It'd be like Tech being called the Fighting Bradshaws.
Right. Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever floats your boat, I guess. 42-21, Bulldogs victorious. It wasn't even that close.
No, it wasn't at all.
14 points scored by the Mean Green Eagles in the fourth quarter.
Right, and really they were both with, I mean, less than 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. It was against third string. Russell Ferris, Deldrick Canty, those type of guys were in there. Not that they're inferior players or anything like that. But
they just don't have much experience.
But exactly, they're third string and second string, and you're sending out Antoine Jimerson is a senior returning, one of their leading rushers returning from a season ago. He scored one, and then Eric Evans scored one as well. To make it 42-21, to make it look respectable, but at the beginning of that fourth quarter, after Trent Taylor caught the touchdown from Sokol, it was 42-7, and that was the final score. As far as I'm concerned, was 42-7. After that, it was it was done.
One concern is how slowly Tech started. We'll get more into that later in the show when we talk more about the North Texas game. Tech does take on Northwestern State Saturday inside Joe Ia Stadium, finally a home game 4 weeks into the season.
Last team to play at home for the season.
Kickoff, of course, at 6 o'clock. An old renewed game. It's hard for me to call it a rivalry. I'm sure we'll upset some old timers and some Northwestern State people not calling it a rivalry. FBS versus FCS. Tech hasn't played them in 20-something years, 20 years, whatever it is.
Oh, 1987.
It's just hard to call it, not quite 20 years, almost 20 years. It's just hard to call it a rivalry. I know that Northwestern State really wants this one. I'm not one of those people who calls it, oh, this is their Super Bowl. I think that's really demeaning. But, yes, Northwestern State wants this game, and Tech wants to continue their winning streak. They're four games away from bowl eligibility already,
which many didn't expect at this point of the season. Most were just hoping for two wins in September, counting the Northwestern State game as a victory. You're looking at three just in the month of September. I mean, certainly not what many were expecting looking at this season.
Give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762. Give us your thoughts on North Texas, on NSU, Northwestern State, that is, being played inside Joe Ia Stadium Saturday at 6 o'clock. What do you think of the game? What did you think about how Tech played Saturday or Thursday against the Mean Green? I'm looking forward to just seeing a game inside of Joe Ia Stadium and getting people's reaction to the big hole in the south end zone.
Sure. Well, not only that, but also the how well they've played so far this season. You'd like to think that unless you've been hiding under a rock, you're aware of how well they've been playing so far, and this home opener will give you a chance to kind of, I guess, judge the way Rustin has reacted, the way Rustin's reacting to the team, the way Rustin is supporting Skip Holtz. And then, of course, you have to feel like some Natchitoches fans will travel pretty well, being not a very far drive. My wife and I drove through that area 2 years goodness gracious, 2 years going down to Leesville to youth pastor down there. So we're very familiar with the drive to Natchitoches, and it's not a bad one.
Well, after a week, or is it 2 weeks of a hiatus?
I believe it's 2 weeks now.
2 week hiatus, Rafe, the third co-host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio, the honorary third co-host, co-host out of Shreveport on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners Hotline. How you doing, Rafe?
Hey, man, I'm doing really good. I had a we had an open house a week ago, and then I just missed it, dude. Just fell asleep at the wheel last week.
You definitely fell asleep at the wheel. You cannot allow that to happen ever again.
No way. I need to put this on my schedule, like as an alarm reminder. Call in and bone Jay Horn.
There you go. And then your questions on the Tech Drive message board, whenever I'm not taking you seriously, you call me out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I was being serious or not. All of it's kind of a hobby. But, hey, you know, what I wanted to bring up this week is this team, it's hard to measure by three games. But in terms of balance, you know, I'm not sure how good we can be. You know, and not just offense and defense, but at player positions. I mean, we've got just a variety of receivers and shown to have some good running backs, and the quarterback looks good. And I don't even know who leads the team in touchdowns. Do you?
I'm looking right now. I don't have that individual leader.
Well, that's cool. It's probably Dixon, but it's spread out so evenly, it's difficult to know, you know, especially when we get in the red zone, it's hard to know who we're going to target. And even on the defensive side of the ball, you know, there's tackles coming from every angle. And, you know, you want to talk about Xavier Woods, and all of a sudden you're talking about Cleveland, then you're talking about Johnson, and you're talking about, you know, Houston Bates. And
yeah, Kenneth Dixon is leading the team in scoring, 24 points on the season. Sorry, I found that and thought I'd throw it in there.
How do you have 24 points?
Four touchdowns, 4 times 6.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting. Yeah, that just counts as 6. Anyway, man, what do you think? I mean, as far as comparing this team to teams in years past, the first quarter of the season being covered, what do you think? I mean, are we better than we were in Duke Dykes' last year? Are we, you know, we're more comparable to the Duke Dykes' second year? Are we better than both of those teams? And what do you think?
I still think some of the jury's somewhat out. North Texas is very one-dimensional. ULL is pretty one-dimensional as well. Oklahoma, yeah, they scored 16 points, but Oklahoma still beat them 48-16, and they didn't show up for the first quarter. That's a legitimate argument. Let's see what they do against a team that can throw it and run it. And I think Northwestern State can do both. You still got the FCS, FBS issue there, where there's not as much depth. They don't have as many scholarships at the FCS level. But I think Northwestern State may give us a better understanding of how good this football team is.
Yeah, maybe so. I honestly think we're going to blow them off the field. I mean, and that's not – I'm not trying to be a homer, but I really think that they're not ready for this. And
I don't think so either, but at the same time, they can throw the ball. And Tech hasn't faced a quarterback that can throw the ball since Oklahoma. And Trevor Knight isn't the greatest thrower. He's shown that through three games. So let's see. This quarterback is probably the best throwing quarterback Tech's seen all year. Lord knows Terrence Broadway's not that. And that Greer guy for North Texas is probably the worst quarterback they'll see all year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I'm excited. You know, I knew that we had a strong defensive backfield coming in. I felt really good about the linebackers. And this defensive line, the way they kind of bought into Diaz's stunning, you know, blitzing type scheme, they've come on. And then, you know, flip over to the offensive side, and to tell you the truth, I can't guess what we're going to be next, but I know that it's going to be good. And I mean, that's every play. I have no idea what's coming. And so I expect us to beat them, you know, really, I expect us to beat them about 50-14 or something like that. And we'll be talking about it next week, trying to figure out how good we are.
Yeah, and then you look at the following week against Auburn, and that's, I think Auburn's underrated this year. They're probably a top five team. And so legitimately you could say that Tech played two top five teams in this season. And to go to back to your original question, are they better than 2012 with Dykes when they made a run at the BCS? Are they more like 2011 when they finished out the year so strong? I think it's probably somewhere in between. Now, they're better. They're a more complete team than 2012, in my opinion. They weren't great defensively in 2012. That's well documented. I mean, let's look at how many points Johnny Football scored, and he just ran wild against that defense. So, I think they're somewhere in between the completeness of this team, where they're pretty good offensively and pretty good defensively, is where I think they it kind of makes them stand out.
Yeah, and I'll end with this. I mean, as far as the ceiling, I think that team, Dykes' last team, topped out after game three or four, and this team looks like they have the capacity to improve, you know, all the way down the stretch. I mean, they've got so many untapped talents and so many young guys and different guys who haven't been utilized in ways that we can use them. It seems like the potential is greater. I doubt the team's better at this point, but I would not be surprised by the end of the year if we weren't saying this team is the best team.
Would you be surprised, Rafe, if I told you that in total defense, Tech ranked 60th in the country right now?
Well, you know, the way that Oklahoma moved the ball on us, in which they moved the ball on anybody, and those garbage drives that we've given up at the end of games, I mean, because I thought, I think we'd be ranked higher. I would assume we'd be a little higher at this point. I mean, having watched what I watched against Northern Texas and ULL. But, I think that it's skewed because of that first, I mean, probably one of the best offenses in the country. We'll get to see what Auburn does against us, but OU is definitely very good. So, yeah, I think that we belong in the top 40, you know, in my opinion.
And to pass efficiency defense, they are exactly number 40. And I think that's one of the most telling rankings and defensive statistic rankings than any of the other ones, because of what it means. It takes so many different statistical categories and roll it into one. So I think that's probably pretty telling of this team and how good they are.
Yeah, that's right. And don't forget, man, winning on the road is very difficult, even against teams that are not great. I mean, it's hard to win on the road. So that you can almost take those games and give us an additional touchdown and take one away from the opponent, and that's a better indication of how we match with them on a neutral field. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that are still mysteries, but I mean, we're going to find out whether or not how explosive we are against Northwestern State, and then we'll get to test their medal against the, you know, top five team again and see how far we are.
Well, Rafe, like always, we appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, man. Good talking to you.
You too, man.
Later.
Get into the game just like Rafe did on the Keller Williams Parish-Wide Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762, and give us your thoughts on the Bulldogs, whether against Northwestern State, against North Texas, what you're expecting, what you saw. Give us a call on that Keller Williams Parish-Wide Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762. We'll be back right after this.
Martin's babe, mirror vein, gone insane, but the memory.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I don't know why I cannot keep a straight face. Whatever, it's got a guy screaming in my ear. Sorry, just I had a chuckle. A couple of sponsors, then we'll get back. I'll get my mind right.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline at 888-993-7762. 888-993-7762. Of course, you can email us your questions at radio@bleedtechblue.com, or you can utilize Twitter with the hashtag BTBRadio, and we will answer your questions on the air.
Here's something I've thought about, Jared, and tell me if you agree with me. It is almost alarming for offenses that have played against Tech thus far at how simple their scheme has been.
how simple
Tech's scheme, their defensive scheme has been.
Well, I think maybe one of the most complex schemes they implemented was Oklahoma. And since then, it's been, I mean, it's extremely vanilla, and these offenses haven't been able to figure it out.
I think they figured it out, but it goes back to what Holtz and Diaz talked about after Oklahoma and how undisciplined the Bulldogs played defensively against Oklahoma.
Right.
When they realized that it is a simple system. I think that may be the crux of the matter, is that Diaz's system is rather simple. Once you do your job, the rest of it's going to fall into place, and there's not a whole lot more to do. When you think about Tony Johnson, who was – he was a no-show on a stat sheet against Oklahoma.
Right, and since then, he's been a major contributor to the defense, especially in the running game, but also in the passing game. Tony Johnson is not a bad cover linebacker.
And he's huge.
Right, but he's big, but he's also quicker than I expected him to be. Honestly, I feel like Tony Johnson moves pretty well sideline to sideline.
Oh, he really does. He has good speed, and I hate to put the caveat on it, especially for somebody 6'3", 250 pounds.
Right. You were mentioning turnover margin there during the break. Louisiana Tech is actually in the top of several categories, but in that turnover margin, you said they were eighth.
Tied for eighth.
They've scored 30 points off of opponents' turnovers, and they've only given up 3 points on turnovers. If you can keep that swinging, if you can keep a ratio like that through the season, you're not going to lose many games.
They're plus five through three games.
Right.
The tops in the country, Florida at plus seven, Temple at plus six, Notre Dame at plus eight, but they've played one more game than Temple in Florida, so their turnover margin is less. Akron is plus four through two games. Missouri is plus six through three games. So you got some.
A couple of them that
yeah.
Are,
right. And Virginia, Texas and company with Virginia, USC, Arizona State, Oregon, FIU, UTEP, and then, of course, Tech. So.
Well, and also that includes two turnovers from against North Texas, which was the first game so far this season that they haven't won the turnover battle. I mean, they lost the turnover battle to North Texas 2-1 because of the fumble. Whatever, but regardless, so you're looking at being plus five and really a real legitimate chance at being plus six. If they keep winning the turnover battle like that, you're not going to lose very many games. Also, they're staying right around 50% on third down conversion. Anything 50% and above, you would absolutely take it every day of the week, every game of the season. 6 of 13 versus North Texas. But we really haven't talked a lot about the North Texas game. I wanted to point out one thing very quickly, and that is the offensive line. Once again, Louisiana Tech was able to protect Cody Sokol. Louisiana Tech was able to open some holes in the running game. Kirby Wixon did a good job at center.
Brunson did too, though.
Right. When you've got six offensive linemen that you can rotate in and out like that, Cam Manning is the middleman for the punt protection. You've got offensive linemen that are contributing. You're being able to rotate them in and out, that type of deal. This offensive line is a lot better than many expected it to be, and I really think that you can credit Matt Moore, but more importantly, Kurt Hester. We haven't really talked a whole lot about the conditioning of this team yet, but many were questioning the conditioning a season ago, saying that Kurt Hester maybe wasn't the right guy for the job and stuff. Kurt Hester has done a really good job with this football team. This football team is in great shape.
They're in great shape, and I think one thing where you've noticed, which is part of Kurt Hester's strength, is speed training. This team's faster than they were a year ago. You look at Kenneth Dixon, who is every bit of 5'10", 220 pounds, 215 pounds, and he's faster than he's ever been as a Bulldog.
That was obvious in the ULL game on that 99-yard run. He's got a DB chasing him, and the DB, you can watch that replay as many times as you want to. He doesn't close in on him until Kenneth starts to slow down, basically walking into the end zone. I mean, Kenneth was running at a full sprint that entire run. But talk about Carlos Henderson. Now, as you mentioned on the Bleed Tech Blue forum, on the Tech Drive forum on BleedTechBlue.com, Carlos Henderson added 30 pounds of muscle.
There was no way that he could play last year at 5'10", 160 pounds.
He's up to 100.
Let's call it 190. He's probably, that's legitimate, probably 190.
Yeah.
185, 190.
185, 190. But he is the fastest person on that football team.
And I would say that it's not even close as far as him being the fastest player on the team.
And there's a difference, people, in being quick and being fast. Paul Turner is quick. Sterling Griffin is quick. But
Trent Taylor's quick.
Trent Taylor is quick. But Carlos Henderson has top-end speed like no one else on this football team does.
And he gets to it so quickly. Gets to that top-end speed. He was suspended for the first two games for a violation of team rules. And I think that really that shows you even more that Holtz, he doesn't care who you are. Carlos Henderson would have contributed from game one forward.
Absolutely.
But because he violated a rule or rules, we don't know what happened.
Right.
He's suspended for the first two games.
And it's not as if he was some surprise breakout against North Texas or anything like that. No way did this coaching staff not know that he wasn't going to be able to immediately contribute the way he did at North Texas. He had six catches for 40 yards. 14 yards was his longest grab. But that return on the very first play of the game, I mean, the opening kickoff, I mean,
he didn't even need the hold from Josh Gaskin.
Right, he didn't even need it. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, just immediately made his presence known. And also, immediately, this special teams unit, is particularly on the return side, was vastly improved from the first two games. Having someone like Carlos Henderson back there. Now, he only returned two, but he averaged 26 yards. If you take the knee in the end zone, you're going out to the 25. If you can average better than 25, goodness, of course you take that any day of the week.
And now you're beginning to see why I said after the Oklahoma game, take the knee most of the time because you get it at the 25.
No, I mean, I understand that. What I was my problem,
just picking on
yeah,
you.
My problem wasn't with that. My problem was with Hunter Lee giving Tevin King a bear hug and pushing him down onto the turf every time he fielded the ball. But let's look at the Atha stats a little bit closer from the North Texas game. Of course, Josh Gaston tied in, caught the first touchdown of the game.
Was
there.
It just me or did he look shocked? He caught it twice.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't expecting them to go to him. But regardless, Cody Sokol was, again, very efficient. 20 of 31 for 243 yards. He had five touchdown passes to one interception. Those five touchdown passes give Sokol 9 for the season. To put that in perspective for you, Ryan Higgins, who did come on in relief in that North Texas game, and Scotty Young last season combined for a total of 10 passes through the air. 10 through the entire season. Sokol has 9 in 3 games, including a game against Oklahoma, a game against ULL, a game against North Texas, all 9 win or more teams, all bowl teams from a season ago.
You talk about Cody Sokol, and I asked him the first question out of the blocks yesterday at the press conference, whether it felt good to prove the Iowa cut inside. I didn't mention Iowa by name, but he knew who I was talking about, to prove them wrong, that he has the ability. And of course, he didn't say that it did feel good. But he didn't say that it didn't feel, it felt bad.
Right.
He's just toeing the company line, which is they train these guys in press conferences, and you can't blame Tech for doing that, but it has to. It has to feel really good. Here, Iowa in the last weekend lost to Iowa State, their rival. A game that Iowa should really never lose.
Yeah, certainly.
Iowa State, yes, they're in the Big 12, and the Big 12 right now is a whole heck of a lot better conference than the Big 10.
That's not even close.
The Big 10's terrible, to use a word my friend Jared King uses.
I've cut down on that quite a bit.
You have, and now I've picked up the slack. Terrible, as Chuck Barkley would say. But yes, it has to feel good if you're Cody Sokol to prove the naysayers wrong. I was rewatching the game, I DVR'd it. I found it interesting. They were talking about the Scottsdale Community College connection with Tim Rattay, and they zoomed in on Manny Diaz and put
Tim Rattay,
wide receivers coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Nope.
Not even close. Don't even coach the same side of the field.
They don't even look alike.
No, not at all. Maybe they both have dark hair.
The end.
But something that you didn't mention, we were talking about the turnover margin, how Louisiana Tech is ranked
in the top 10
in several categories, but also in red zone efficiency. Now, last season, this team struggled in the red zone, be it through the air, be it on the ground. They were settling for field goals. I mean, at a pretty high clip. But this season, Louisiana Tech has vastly improved in red zone efficiency, and I believe they're 15 of 16 for touchdowns. Is that correct?
Well, last year through 12 games, Tech was 79% inside the red zone.
For touchdowns or for points?
For scoring.
Right.
I think that's just scoring. And Tech right now is 100%.
Right. And 15 of the 16 tries have been for touchdowns. And anytime you can come away with...
But when you look at last year, whether it's 3 or 6, to be at less than 80% is not good.
Right.
And that just plays to your point.
Exactly. Also, something that this team has been able to do is gains of 20 yards or more. In the North Texas game alone, you have 4 receivers with catches of 20 yards or more. Hunter Lee had a 28, Sterling Griffin had 23, Paul Turner had a 21, Tevin King had a 25, which albeit he did most of the work on that one. But also, Kenneth Dixon had a 19-yard run, very close. This team has been able to get huge chunks of yardage on the offensive side of the ball, and it's something that, once again, a year ago, they just did not have.
Last week, you and North Texas but after North Texas beat SMU, June Jones quit. After Tech beat UNT this week, they replaced the quarterback. Dejon Williams will be the starter for the Mean Green going forward. Mr. Josh Greer, who was 13 of 27 for 77 yards, has found the bench. When I tell you that guy missed badly on throws, he missed them by 20 or 30 yards.
Yeah, there were some throws to wide receivers down the field that wide receivers had made good plays and had gotten open. I mean, there were some
yards to be had.
There was definitely some yards left on the field. But as we mentioned going into that game, Josh Greer was not good. Could be, like you said, the worst quarterback that Tech actually faces this season.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk a little bit more North Texas, go through Conference USA football. And then at 6:45, Brett McCormick, the sports editor for the Alexandria Town Talk, will join us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. A Tech alum talking NSU. Could be interesting. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of Bleed Tech Blue, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into some Conference USA football talk.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline at 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Of course, you can email your questions to us at radio@bleedtechblue.com, or you can utilize Twitter with the hashtag BTBRadio. We will answer your questions on the air.
Jared, dare I say that Tech is in the top three, top four of Conference USA right now?
I mean, who would you put ahead of them? I would say Marshall.
Middle Tennessee, maybe.
I would argue Middle Tennessee. I think Middle Tennessee would be one spot behind.
UTSA, maybe.
I think it would be Marshall, UTSA, Tech. I think that's where they'd be. And based on competition from a season ago, I don't think anybody could. I mean, it's arguable with Middle Tennessee, but I think that Middle Tennessee would, but 9 times out of 10, one spot after Tech at least.
Marshall seems to be rolling right now.
Well, you have to look at who they play.
They haven't played anybody.
Yeah, but they don't play anybody. So
this game they played this past weekend was arguably the hardest game on their schedule.
Who are you going to find to argue you? I don't think it is arguably. I think it's absolutely the hardest game on the schedule, and many of the quote-unquote experts and analysts and all this stuff have been saying that all season, that as long as they could get past Ohio, most likely Marshall was going to go undefeated until they got to the Conference USA Championship game, and then depending on who it was, you know, may or may not have some competition
there. Now, they do play at Akron, and are only favored by 10 points.
Grasping at straws.
The over-under 61.5.
That's a high-scoring game.
But
Rocky Ucato's going to score a lot of points.
Let's go through the scores of Week 3 around Conference USA. Of course, Tech victorious 42-21 over the Mean Green Eagles of North Texas. FIU falls to Pitt 42-25 after being up 16-0 in the first quarter. Ohio loses to Marshall, like we said, 44-14. UAB beats Alabama A&M 41-14. Tech and UAB are the surprises of the conference this year, and once again, no one will argue you. Eastern Michigan falls to Old Dominion 17-3. Southern Miss, gosh, they're bad. Granted, they were playing the number three team in the country, but they lost by 40, 52-12 to Alabama. Florida Atlantic beats Tulsa 50-21.
And I don't think many were expecting FAU to put up the offensive explosion that they did, but FAU had a pretty tough opening schedule. Still surprising that it was against Tulsa.
Middle Tennessee, Western Kentucky in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, 50-47 in triple overtime. I'd say they're pretty even.
Yeah, and honestly, it kind of surprised me a little bit because I wasn't expecting Western Kentucky to be that good this
season. They got a good
season.
Quarterback.
They do. Doty is he's a good quarterback.
UTSA at Oklahoma State, 43-13. The Cowboys beat the Roadrunners. And I really expected UTSA to put up more of a fight to Oklahoma State.
Well, especially I didn't expect them to give up 43 points. I expected that defense to play a little better than that, which maybe goes to show that maybe Houston laid another stinker in an opener. Maybe that's not as big of a deal. And then against Arizona
at home, you're jacked up.
Yeah, and they were getting gashed on the run all night by a true freshman running back.
Oklahoma State put up 477 total yards. Quarterback went 16 of 30, which isn't great.
No.
For 315 yards. They ran the ball for 162 yards.
315 yards on 16 completions is pretty good.
Yeah, 10.5 yards of completion. So maybe UTSA is not as good as we all thought they were. We will find out down the road. There is no doubt about that. New Mexico State loses to UTEP in El Paso, 42-24. UTEP scores 21 in the fourth to win 42-24. Rice falls to number 7, Texas A&M 38-10. I don't think Rice is anywhere near as good as they were a year ago. It'll be interesting to watch them as the weeks go on. This week, across Conference USA, Old Dominion travels to Rice. Marshall, as we said, travels to Akron, Ohio to play the Zips. Nicholls State travels to North Texas, 0-3. Nicholls State, North Texas should pull to even 2-2 on the season. Louisville travels to FIU. That could get ugly fast. Florida Atlantic travels to Wyoming. That's a long trip. Northwestern State at Tech, of course. Appalachian State travels to Southern Miss. Will that be the first loss the conference has to, what is it?
The group of five.
Game, maybe the other one. They may lose that one. There's another one in the group of five because Wyoming's in the MAC, and not in the MAC, the Mountain West.
Florida Atlantic. I think Florida Atlantic would pull out over Wyoming before Southern Miss. Well, but I think
Wyoming's favored by 4.
What is the line for Southern Miss and Appalachian State?
Southern Miss is favored by 3.
Which is crazy that Southern Miss would be favored in a game after...
To anyone.
Yeah, Bethune-Cookman, bring whoever on. North Dakota State would beat Southern Miss by 3 or 4 touchdowns.
Middle Tennessee will travel to Memphis to take on the Memphis State Tigers. No, the Memphis Tigers, but my dad grew up in Memphis, and they've always been Memphis State to me. So they're the Memphis State Tigers.
And Memphis is actually favored by 12 in that game, which maybe goes to show you just how good
Memphis
Middle
is
Tennessee
good.
And Western Kentucky are.
And Memphis is much better than they have been in the past. So it may be a little bit of both of what you talked about. But you look, Marshall's not going to lose to Akron, so that the group of five conference will stay undefeated after a 1 p.m. Central kick. So you feel good about that one.
And Conference USA is 11-0 against schools from the group of five. And that's all you have to do. All you have to do is be the best group of five school, be the highest ranked group of five school, and you're in. That's all you have to do. So Conference USA.
What if there's one not ranked? Good question, huh?
Well, certainly you'd like to think that that one would be ranked inside the top 25.
It has to be a
conference winner.
Marshall may be there, but as bad as their strength of schedule is, it's going to take them a while to get in there.
Well, it's being picked by people, though. So,
true.
Because it's being picked by people and not computers, you'd have to say maybe a school like Marshall has a little bit better chance. Regardless, if you're a part of Conference USA, you must feel pretty good about your conference right now, and you must feel pretty good about the other schools that are in your conference and that you're competing against, because the more they win, when you go beat them, it only makes you look better.
You know, one thing that we haven't talked about much this season is the improved Conference USA TV contract versus the other in their group of five. There's only going to be one game this season that Tech is not on TV.
And that's this weekend against Northwestern State, an FCS opponent.
So that's pretty good.
You're talking about, ULL, that Louisiana Tech game, they only have three on TV this season, and they won the dang conference last season. So you have to, like you said, you have to feel pretty good about your TV contract.
Hey, you look at, we used Massey ratings a lot last year. I didn't talk about them early on because that computer had no idea what this Bulldog team was going to do.
No, and the further you get into the season, the more more accurate those things become, and Vegas as well.
Exactly. So early in the season, I think they may have had Tech going 2-10.
Right.
It was it 2-10?
It was 2-10. With they were favored against Northwestern State, and they were favored against Southern Miss. They were
probably.
I believe they were going to lose to UTEP. I believe it was Southern Miss and Old Dominion. They were going to lose to Old Dominion as well.
So now you look at it, Tech sitting 2-1. They've climbed the rankings on Massey to number 72 in the country. That was up 25 spots from the previous week. So that's a big jump. 88% chance of victory against the Demons Saturday. 39-21 is what they're saying. Still don't think they know a whole lot about this Bulldog football team. 2% chance to beat Auburn, that they have the number three team in the country. UTEP, 75%. UTSA, who's ranked 6 spots ahead of Tech. No, 10 spots ahead of Tech. As a 40% chance of victory, 23-27. Southern Miss, at 80% chance of victory. They have Southern Miss as the 164th ranked team in the country. That's including FCS teams. Northwestern State is 178.
Wow.
Western Kentucky, 52% chance of victory. UAB, 60. Old Dominion, 69. Rice, 46. A lot of good games left to be played.
Yeah, absolutely, and Western Kentucky very well may shape up to be one of those good games. Of course, UTSA will be a good game. Rice, we expected to be a good game. However, I'm not totally sold on Rice, but regardless, should still be a good one in the Joe.
And this is a computer we're talking about, and we're only 3 weeks in.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what we mentioned, before you began to talk about the probability of winning and all that stuff. At this early in the season, with it being a computer, it is still hard. It's hard to say.
And they have Tech schedule ranked 18th in the country.
Because of that starting,
playing Oklahoma.
You've got Oklahoma and Auburn, and then also you have ULL, North Texas, Rice, all bowl teams.
ULL is now ranked 114th on Massey.
How many Division I schools?
128.
You're close.
But like I said, they're counting FCS teams too in this. So North Dakota State's going to be,
oh yeah,
probably top 40.
Goodness gracious.
So there's going to be FCS schools in there as well that are pushing everybody down. I mean, that's why Old Dominion is 138 whenever there's 128
right,
Division
right,
I schools,
right.
And Southern Miss is 164. Puts things in perspective. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk with Brett McCormick of the Alexandria Town Talk, the sports editor down there, about the Northwestern State Demons and Louisiana Tech Bulldogs playing Saturday at 6 inside the Joe. We'll see you in a little bit. We'll be back right after this.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jared King, staff writer and co-host and host of the post game call-in show.
The post game.
That's what it is.
It's
a post.
The post game call-in show. It's a post game call-in show. There is a post game show, but we are the first. We are the post game call-in show. We're not the post game whatever. Look, Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Brett McCormick is joining us on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline, and you can too. 888-993-7762. 888-993-7762.
Brett, how's it going, my friend?
It's going well, fellas. How are you guys?
How weird does this week feel for you?
It's definitely interesting, though a lot different than what I thought it was going to feel like at the beginning of the season, to be honest with you.
Are you?
I'm not going to lie. You know me. You know my stance. I was legitimately concerned for Louisiana Tech at the beginning of the season. Now, not so much.
Whenever I would tweet at you, I'd be like, "You're out of your mind. This team's pretty good," and you just didn't believe me. But I have to toot my horn for a second. I was right.
Well, you were right, and I was wrong. And to be honest with you, as I was preparing for this show, I started wondering if I just don't know much about football, to be honest with you, because I thought this team wasn't very good. I didn't think Oklahoma was that good, and I think I was dangerously wrong on both of those accounts.
Well, just talk to us a little bit about Northwestern State. I know that going into the season, it was thought that the running back was going to be the strength of this team. Well, Skip Holtz yesterday in his press conference said that he felt like the quarterback is the best passing quarterback they've seen all year.
Well, the quarterback, I mean, honestly, the quarterback was the strength of the team. Zach Adkins, and it's a really interesting story. In a different world, he might be the starting quarterback at Louisiana Tech University today. A couple of guys that you guys are familiar with, Sonny Dykes and Tony Franklin, were recruiting Zach at a junior college in California when they took the Cal job. And Tony Franklin had a friend, a former assistant at Northwestern State, gave him a call and said, "Look, this kid's too short to come play with us at Cal, but I think he would be a good fit for you guys." That was Robbie Brown. He was then the offensive coordinator at Northwestern State. They looked into him. They signed him. And Adkins had a great first year last year. He set 7 school records. He threw for almost 3,000 yards. And he's off to a tremendous start this year. He's second in the FCS in completion percentage and just set a school record against Southern this past weekend, completing 19 passes in a row. So he's certainly the strength of the team. They do have a formidable running attack. They have a stable of 4 or 5 running backs that they'll throw out there. They don't really have a, you know, one guy to watch, but they've got a bunch of guys they shuffle in and out, and then they've got 5 receivers, but they have a receiver who is their go-to guy. His name's Ed Egan. He's a junior, former cornerback who they moved to receiver last year, and has had a really good season this year, and I think has a chance to be an All-American kick returner.
And when you look at the stats from last week, it looks like is it Northwestern State style to nickel and dime you down the field, much like maybe Sonny Dykes and Tony Franklin?
Yeah, for sure. Robbie Brown, when he came in, he brought this fast-paced, quick offense. They wanted to play fast. They wanted to get 80, 85 plays a game. Brown left during the offseason. He went to South Alabama. He's now the running backs coach there, moved into the FBS ranks as an assistant. But they kept the same system. They still want to play fast. They still want to get the ball out in a hurry. It's very similar, not quite to the pace that we saw in Ruston when Dykes and Franklin were there, but still a very similar system. Get it out quick, move it down the field. They'll take some shots. They have a couple of guys that can stretch the field, but they really do their damage with their slot receivers across the middle, and that's how they want to do it.
Typically, whenever you see FBS versus FCS, I know that's not really the kosher term anymore. At least I don't think it is because of all this autonomy stuff, but that's what we're going with because we both know what we're talking about when we say that. But you normally see depth between those two divisions wear down on the defensive side when the from the FCS team, and that's normally what is their ultimate undoing. Do you see that as maybe something that we'll see Saturday?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that's my expectations. Look, Northwestern State has some talent. There's no doubt they have a couple of players on the offensive side of the ball. They have a couple of players on the defensive line and in the secondary that could really play. Very good football players. But, I mean, they just don't have the depth. When they get into their second unit, they've given up a lot of explosive plays, particularly in the passing game, not just to Baylor but to Missouri State as well. And they found out when they went to their second unit is when they really got burned. And I think that Tech will have some opportunities on Saturday to take advantage of that. Northwestern just doesn't have the depth because of scholarship limitations. And it showed on the field. NSU has lost its last 17 games against FBS opponents. The last win came back in 2005 when they beat ULM. They've been competitive for a little while in these types of games, but typically they do wear out.
When you look at the game at Southern last weekend, Tyree Bracken, of course, the transfer from Southern Miss, was seven carries for 97 yards. It goes back to those explosive plays you talk about, but that was in the running game, and then had two receivers that had 79-yard touchdown reception. So it goes to show what you were talking about. They are susceptible to some explosive plays game.
To jump in real quick, a lot of what happened in that game, to be honest with you, is the same thing that's happened in Louisiana Tech's two wins. They got out to a huge lead. I mean, I think it was 40-something to 7 early in the third quarter. They pull the starters, put in the second unit, and you give up some big plays. Same thing that's happened to Tech in their two games where they blew out ULL and blew out North Texas until late in the game you score a couple of touchdowns. So I think that score was a little deceiving. I mean, there was no doubt that Northwestern State dominated that game. If they kept their starters in, they could have named – it could have been the same thing that happened to them in the Baylor game. They could have done to Southern if they wanted to, but they called off the dogs.
What's a matchup that you see that maybe Tech needs to be concerned about?
Well, I think there's two matchups that I'm interested in seeing. NSU has lost some depth on the defensive line. They've lost a starter and a key backup to season-ending injuries. However, they have some talent, particularly at defensive end. They have a freshman All-American last year. He's from Monroe. He played at Wichita. His name's Jamarcus Marshall, who's a sophomore. And I'm really interested to see if he can get some pressure on Cody Sokol. And then the second matchup is at cornerback. There's a guy from here in Alexandria named Amon Claiborne. He's got two interceptions, two pass breakups. Typically, teams don't throw at him, and when they do throw at him, he makes a play. So I'm interested to see who he matches up against and if he's able to affect the game. It's a bad analogy, but sort of like Richard Sherman, you know, you lock down half the field. He sort of has that mentality. I'm going to lock down this side of the field. So I'm interested to see, as he moves up a level, if he able to do that against the quality of receivers that Tech has.
And then what are some matchups you see maybe that Tech can exploit? You talk about they're susceptible to some explosive plays in a pass game, but what else could they
be? Well, I certainly think the pass rush is going to be key. I mean, offensive line, NSU's been nicked, and they lost a couple of starters from last year. They have a starter who's not back. He broke his ankle in the spring and is not back yet. So they're a little thin on the offensive line. So I would expect that Tech can get a pass rush and get to Atkins. And I've seen him play several times, and I'll be honest with you, like any quarterback, if he's rushed and he has to make some quick decisions, he's not quite as accurate. The very accurate quarterback's completing 72% of his passes, but you get pressure on him, that number will drop to 50 or below. So I'm interested to see that. I think Tech can take an advantage there. And then offensively, I don't know how Northwestern's going to be able to slow down Kenneth Dixon. They're very susceptible up the middle to the run. They just don't have great linebackers. They have a young kid who transferred in from Louisville. He's from New Orleans. His name's Lynn Clark. I'm really, really high on him, but he's not quite ready, I don't think. I think he's going to be a great player at the end of the year, and maybe he grows up this weekend. I think he will have his hands full trying to slow down Kenneth Dixon.
Will you be inside the Joe IA Stadium press box this weekend?
I am not going to be there, as much as it kills me. However, I do believe my wife might be there, which is crazy. She might be at the game, but I will be working at the office here at the Town Hall. Was not able to swing getting to Ruston. However, I do believe I'll be at Auburn next week. That's the plan.
There you go. Well, to give us I think you know that we hold people's feet to the fire and ask for a score prediction, so give us one.
I would say I think just from what I've seen with Tech's defense, I think Northwestern's going to have some issues. I think they'll get some points. I'll say Louisiana Tech 34, Northwestern State 13.
34-13 from Brett McCormick at the Town Talk. Appreciate you coming on and shedding some light on the Demons. I couldn't have thought about a better guy to do it than you.
I appreciate you inviting me on anytime, guys.
Thanks, Brett. Brett McCormick, sports editor for the Town Talk in Alexandria, joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. Good stuff from Brett. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk a little bit more NSU, Louisiana Tech football. And then in the final segment, of course, wrap it up and give our predictions. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise. Playing in the street. Gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face. You big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing,
we will rock you.
If you're listening, whoa.
Singing. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7 here in Ruston. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into some NSU talk.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join us on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline at 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Don't you hate it when the guy on the radio is rattling off the number so fast that you've almost got it in there and then you can't remember, and then he doesn't repeat it? Well, I've repeated it numerous times tonight. You should have it by now. I say it every week. 888-993-7762. Of course, you can use Twitter with the hashtag
BTB, the Twitter machine,
with hashtag BTB Radio, and we will answer your questions on the air.
Let's go to my old tag team partner and Jason on line one.
Or you could just say, hey, 1-800-99-ESPN2 or something like that. It works out. What's going on?
Not much, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I just thought I'd call in when I got a chance. I heard the tail end of Brett's call, and I really think he's probably in line with the score. I'm going to go 38-13.
I honestly don't think there's any way that Tech doesn't score over 40. I mean, they've done
that's my thing. I think they'll probably score a lot in the first half and maybe three quarters, but I really think they'll, you know, start working in a lot of players. I mean, I really feel like Coach Holtz alluded to the fact in the press conference he's going to try to get a lot of young guys in there, especially in the secondary, and he mentioned receiver and offensive line. And so I would expect if Tech gets up by, you know, 25, 30 points, they're going to start slowing it down and getting all these other guys involved. And, you know, we've seen the fourth quarter of the last couple of games, you know, the other team scores and Tech's kind of slowed down the scoring.
That's a fair point. I'm leaning towards a score in the 40s for Tech for sure.
Can't give my prediction
until the last segment.
Right, don't give away too much information.
Oh, I know I'm jumping the gun, but that's what I thought. You know, Brett was pretty close, but I think 38, getting a little bit closer to 40, is probably about right. But, yeah, I mean, they could easily score, you know, in the 40s, no problem.
Well, you know, Jason, you mentioned the fourth quarter scoring for their opponents. The fourth quarter is the highest scoring quarter that Tech opponents have. They've scored 21 in the first, 17 in the middle quarters, and then 34 in the fourth. But Tech is still outscoring their opponents in the fourth quarter, 37-34.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just kind of listening to Coach Holtz at the press conference, you know, that's two points of emphasis, I think. And obviously when you play an FCS team at home, third game of the season, fourth game, you've kind of seen what you've got. But now let's go back to the drawing board and work on some things. So Cody Sokol's thrown all nine of his touchdown passes in the second through fourth quarter. So can they score on that first drive or that second drive and get the offense going a little bit quicker? You know, that'll be a point of emphasis, is starting quicker. And then, obviously, like you mentioned, can they stop the other team from scoring in the fourth quarter when the second string's in?
I honestly would like to see maybe the first play of the game as a play-action post route.
Yeah, it's like some kind of like a flea flicker.
I wouldn't even go flea flicker. I'd say play action to Kenneth Dixon up the middle and Carlos Henderson down the sideline. They can't hang with
it. Yeah, and don't shoot the floor of this new – I don't guess it's new, but, you know, now that they've got an actual passing threat, the draw play to Kenneth Dixon is really working out.
It is really working out, and it's amazing. Whenever they're not teeing off on your run game, you can be a whole lot more creative in your play calling.
Yeah, and they've certainly been more creative this year. It's really fun to watch just all the different receivers. They're getting involved. Carlos Henderson added a really nice, you know, punch to the offense this past week. And, golly, it just totally opened up the running game, too. And, I mean, Kenneth Dixon, I think we talked earlier today, he can get 10 or 12 carries. He could go well over 100 yards and be done for the day by halftime.
Yeah, I mean, Tyree Bracken, who I remember him playing at Southern Miss, he did have a good day against Northwestern State this past weekend, going 7 carries for 97 yards, averaging almost 14 yards a carry, 56 along a 56. I mean, Kenneth Dixon in the first half could go 10 carries for 150 easily.
Oh, yeah, it's just a matter of how many times they're going to feed him the rock, because if Sokol's on like he was last week, I mean, they didn't have to give it to Dixon much. And I promise you, Coach Holtz wants to save Kenneth as much as he can early in the season, because he's going to need him down the stretch in some of these bigger conference games when you've got San Antonio and Rice and UTEP and all of them coming into Ruston, and then you've got to go to Birmingham. So as few cases he can get Dixon this week, hey, I'm sure he's happy.
Jason, appreciate you.
No problem.
Thanks, man. I think this weekend's game in the second half, we're going to see a lot of Jared Kraft.
Yeah, and I think Jared Kraft could have a good game. I was about to mention that. Of course, Jared Kraft was the primary backup to Kenneth Dixon against North Texas. Got some carries against ULL, and I think Jared Kraft he's playing better earlier than I expected him to, and I think so far he's looked good. I mean, look, this Northwestern State team gave up 223 yards on the ground to Missouri State. They gave up 265 to Baylor, and they gave up 163 to Southern, with 97 of them going from Bracken. And that's of course, that's including any kind of lost yardage play on a sack or a screen that gets stopped behind the line or anything like that as well. So Northwestern State is weak against the run, to say the least, and I think Kenneth Dixon could have a really big half of a game. I don't think Kenneth Dixon plays the entire game. But I think Jared Kraft is going to come on in relief and have a big game as well.
You've used lots of baseball analogies. Come on in relief. I'm just picking.
I mean, essentially, that's what he's doing.
We are watching baseball tonight.
True, we are watching baseball tonight. But essentially, that's what he's doing. He's coming in relief.
I'm just picking on you.
Hey, go to the bullpen.
The thing that made me agree, that Brett McCormick said, that makes me agree with that, Kenneth's going to have a big game, and honestly, I think Jared probably goes over 100 as well in his first career game over 100 yards, is the fact that they're susceptible up the middle.
Right.
Tech's pretty large in its interior linemen. Whether it's Brunson at 300 pounds, Kirby Wixon at 320 pounds at center, David Mahaffey at right guard, Rick Greenwald at right guard, Trey Carter at left guard, and then Darryl Brown is really coming into his own at left tackle. And Mitchell Bell, the behemoth.
Right. Giant.
At right tackle.
Giant.
All 340 pounds of him.
Yeah.
He could have gaping holes that you could drive a Mack truck through.
I agree. And the offensive line got good push against ULL. They got good push against North Texas. And North Texas was another small defensive line. That defensive line of North Texas was not big. And Northwestern State's defensive line is not large either. I think Louisiana Tech could get a really good push on that offensive line and open up big holes for Kenneth Dixon. Like I said, he's going to have a really good half of a game. I don't think Kenneth Dixon will see the field in the second half, and I don't think he should.
The thing I wonder about as far as defensively for Louisiana Tech, will Manny line up and blitz the heck out of him early on? I think early on he very well may.
I think he will. He's done so in the other three. Well, not so
much. He hasn't really blitzed a ton.
Not so much. Against Oklahoma, he brought several different kinds of blitzes, like you said.
And they didn't get home.
Right, and like you said at the beginning of at the top of the show, honestly, it's gotten very vanilla in the last two games, and it's worked out really well, and it's worked out in his favor. I think you could see some blitz packages and stuff like that against Northwestern State. I mean, this Adkins kid, of course, he 19 passes in a row, 17 for 17 in the second quarter, completed his first two passes coming out in the third quarter, was 30 of 35 on the game, flirting with the all-time with the record, 32 of 35 NCAA record. So I mean, it's not as if he wasn't accurate against Southern, but what we're talking about is Southern, and Louisiana Tech was able to get pressure on Broadway and force him to make some errant passes. They were able to get pressure on Josh Greer, and he didn't need any pressure to make errant passes. And they're going to get pressure on Adkins, and he's going to throw some errant passes as well.
Something we didn't talk about during the North Texas talk: Tech was missing two starters at defensive line for North Texas, and they will be missing them
against Northwestern State.
Against Northwestern State as well. Vontarius Dora is out with an injury for the next few weeks. I would go out and say I think he'll probably be back after the bye week would be my guess. Malcolm Pichon has been suspended indefinitely for violation of team rules. So Pichon was a reserve second string, third string guy, 6'3". Now he's a behemoth as well. 6'3", 330 pounds was kind of the space eater. And then Dora was of course a starter. But I really thought that the guys filled in for him very nicely last weekend. That was a concern for me because I did know about him being out last week. Was asked to be quiet on it, so I listened. But I was really surprised at how well those guys that came in behind him played, because North Texas was known for running the ball, but they held up.
Yeah, I mean,
but with missing him, and granted, he's 250, 260 pounds and 6'3", 6'4", so he's a big guy as well, but they brought in basically D tackles to replace him. So they got even bigger along the defensive line without him.
Right, which was what I was going to say. They got bigger on the defensive line, and he stopped the run by filling those gaps, and they were able to do that because of the extra size along the line. North Texas had 26 yards of total offense at halftime. This team that was known for running the ball had 26 total yards at halftime. not exactly what you were looking for. So, yeah, I think that Louisiana Tech's defensive line is certainly doesn't have to worry about anything against Northwestern State. Now, going into the Auburn game, of course, it's a totally different story there.
The game, I know that Baylor's really good this year. I mean, they're every bit of the number 10 team in the country.
Well, their starting quarterback and their backup quarterback are both in like the top 10 in the country in touchdown passes.
But when you score 70 points on anybody,
yeah,
that's a lot of points.
How many did Lamar score against Oklahoma Panhandle State University?
I have no idea.
I think it was like 73. Oklahoma Panhandle State University.
Tex played them in basketball before.
Saying 70.
Was it Panhandle State or was it Pan America?
No, it was Oklahoma Panhandle State. I'll never forget the name Oklahoma Panhandle State.
Excellent. Maybe Tech hasn't played them in basketball. I was thinking about UTPA, UT Pan American.
Another one. Another good one.
Down in Edinburgh, Texas. I would imagine there's a border checkpoint there. FYI. Let's take this break. On the side of the break, since I have big time digressed here, let's take a break. On the side of the break, we'll give us our predictions and recap the show. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Good show so far. Last segment here, talking a little bit of NSU, Louisiana Tech football. Jared, a couple of sponsors.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call during this last segment on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline at 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Apparently, it's 888-99-ESPN2, according to Jason Jones.
That's the way he used to announce it, but nobody else on the station says it, so
I don't blame them. That's not the way phone numbers work. 99-ESPN2.
Is in your just where's the S?
Exactly.
Sorry, Jason. We're haters on your naming of the phone number. Good show. One thing, a little bit of housekeeping we can talk about. Saturday's game, the first five rows on the east side of the stadium between the 35s where the students used to sit are now either going to be blocked off and or have the young alumni from Section 00 sitting down in them. As a rule for Conference USA, opposing teams cannot be in front of the student section. So they made a rule that you could, as long as they didn't sit in the first five rows between the 35s, you could get around the rule. Well, they did it at North Texas. North Texas had a young alumni section there. So the long and short of this story is Tech will be back on the west side of the stadium for home games, which the WAC had that rule. Conference USA had the rule. I think it's silly as part of playing on the road.
That's part of home field advantage. Have your student section in the ear of the opposing team.
Heaven to Betsy that they say a wordy nerd.
Right, yeah. The student section, boy, they pull up rosters and find the names of every one of the players and call them by name and make fun of them by name. And, you know, sometimes, my freshman year at Louisiana Tech, this one kid had really done his research and knew the guy's mom's name and called her by name. So, you know, take her out to a nice seafood dinner.
I did that as well as a student. I was one of the best, I must say.
John still does it, he says.
Never outgrow that, do you, John? Never ever do you outgrow.
Well, it's one of the funnest parts of being a young alum or a student and having a home game. You know, get to be in the ear of the opposing team. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Well, Conference USA and the WAC see that there's something wrong with it, or they wouldn't make the rule.
Right.
So, but the good news is Tech will be back on the correct side, and the entrance this week will be different than it has been in the past, because guess what? There's no hill and there's no tunnel.
Right. Not only is there no tunnel, but there's no hill, just a big giant hole over there.
They've begun the construction of the concrete walls, I believe, on the east side of the building. So that's, I think it's one of like 11 or 12 of those walls they have to build. So it's, if you haven't seen the hole, it really does put in perspective how big that building's going to be. Since there is no hill or tunnel, the teams will be entering down the stadium. They've put some stairs in on the extreme south side of the concrete bleachers, where they will walk down and enter the field. It's not the prettiest thing in the world, but it's for a year. You don't want to put anything permanent up there that looks good when you're only doing it for five games.
Right, five games, and then you get to enter the way that they will for years and years to come. So, of course, you wouldn't want to make something too permanent. I think especially as the season progresses and you get to that last home game of the season against Rice and see a little bit of the production. I mean, you get to see a little bit more of what that South End Zone complex is going to look like. I think fans will, they'll be fine with it.
There you are right here. Here's somebody on the Tech Drive message board, K-Dubs 2010. He says he just got off the phone with the ticket office. He moved his seat to the new young alumni section on row O of the lower deck. They have 190 seats available in this new section. Tickets can be bought on a single game basis for $30. They're expecting this to be ready in time for Saturday. No one is being forced from double O, but just another option. I think it's a great idea. Really hope the young alumni section can grow this way. We seem to be far too small of a group. I think it's wonderful.
What exactly are the parameters of the young alumni?
I can't remember what there are. It's, you have to be have graduated from Tech in the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20 years. I don't know what it is. There is a parameter. I just don't know what
it is. It's certainly not 20. Okay. Well, regardless.
You don't think a 20?
No. No. No, I don't. I think they need to sit on the other side. No, I absolutely do not.
At 20 years, you're not considered a young alumni?
Nope. Not at all. Not at all.
Anyway, there is a new section, Section 0. The first five, Section O, I should say. Section O. First five rows between the 35s. Where you can, that's on the 50-yard line, you can get a really good seat.
Those are great seats. The student section.
You can see more from double O.
Right.
That, if you're sitting in the first five rows of Section O, you're not there to see.
No, you're
there to experience.
Absolutely. And those are great seats.
And for the other team, too. Experience.
Exactly. Hopefully those are the kind of fans that will move into those first five.
I know K Dubs for a fact will make them experience it. So if he's bringing his crew down there with him, they will bring an experience, which is a very, very good thing. Let's go ahead and get to we got 6 minutes left. Let's get to these predictions. John, like always, you got to go first.
I really like the way Tech is holding on to the football offensively, whether it's run or pass, they're sustaining drives. Northwestern, they beat up on Southern, but Southern's struggling, to say the least. I like 48-14
Dogs. 48-14
Dogs.
I'm not sure if that's high enough.
And we would be talking about the line from Vegas, even though we don't condone it.
Right, but it's a FBS versus FCS.
And none of the major books put lines on those games.
Exactly. I would have to, the over-under against North Texas was 48,
48, I think.
So they were expecting that to be a lower scoring game than it was. I'm still not sure where Vegas has this Louisiana Tech team. I don't think that Vegas
knows really.
I don't think they know them. I don't think they trust them yet either. Of course.
But on the flip side, the point of these lines is to get money played on both sides,
right,
so they're not losing anything.
Of course. But now, you have to admit, Vegas is, boy, they are eerily accurate.
They are. They have not been for Louisiana Tech this far, thus far.
My prediction, of course, I will go second. I think Louisiana Tech is going to score 52. I think they are going to go for that 50 spot. I mean, they've been close the past couple of weeks. Obviously, they've turned it down in the fourth quarter. I just think that the time of possession, Tech will control the time of possession. They're going to force turnovers. The offense will score. I think Carlos Henderson will have a good game. I think Jared Kraft will have a good game. Kenneth Dixon will have a good half. Cody Sokol will have a good game. I think it's going to be 52-14.
I think Northwestern State's going to score more than that because of the second group being in for as long as they probably will be in. I'm going to go 56-24.
56. Wow. So the highest you have is you have them scoring the most points. Also, Northwestern State scoring the most points. I think you certainly could be correct there with the 24 because the second string and third string are going to be out there for Louisiana Tech for probably much of the fourth, all of the fourth quarter, much of the second half.
I think I'm with you. I think that the starters start.
Yeah.
Begin the second half.
Right. That's what I was going to say. All but maybe Kenneth Dixon will start the second half. I think they'll probably start out with Jared Kraft, and then it'll go quickly to the second string. Do you think Ryan Higgins or Taylor Burch?
You know, he Coach Holtz played both of them against Texas.
He did.
I think that'll be the case again. I think Ryan Higgins will get most of the snaps, but with Burch being a senior and it being an in-state game,
right?
I think he'll give him some reps.
Yeah, I could certainly see that, and I think Holtz Skip is aware of that, and I think he'll take care of the senior.
Well, good show, guys. Appreciate y'all, and we'll be back same time next week right here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Come check us out. 7-day free trial. You won't regret it. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. See you then.
Been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio with Jonathan Ford. Listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on ESPN 97.7.